Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. South Dakotans head to the polls on November 6th, but many are casting votes early. Not SDPB's Kevin Wooster. He writes the blog. On the other hand, you can find it at sdpb.org/Wooster. He joins us today on the phone for a look at the race for U.S. House and much more. Kevin, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Lori. As I say, and as I said in my column, I never cast a vote early, but I am casting today out at Newell Lake. And so far, I haven't caught anything. I'm on my way to Teddy Roosevelt National Park to spend a couple of days with my son and grandson. And so I got a cell service spot here, so I wait to make sure you and I can talk.
That's what. Well, we appreciate that. Thank you so much for doing that for us. And one of the things that I really appreciate about, on the other hand, when it comes to election coverage, is that not only are you at certain events and having certain conversations that are of service to listeners, but we also get to see inside the head of a voter who is thinking about things, changing their mind, deciding, I like this, but I don't like this. You're a thoughtful voter. You're not going to just walk into the polls and fill in a bubble next to your political party.
I give a lot of thought to these votes. People might argue whether it's rational thought or the right thought, but I do spend a lot of time thinking about it. And as I said, I never vote early. I just feel like I'm going to give the entire campaign a chance to play itself out, and the candidates a chance to show me as much of themselves as I get to see. And so I wait. As I say in the column, I'm pretty clear. I'm pretty sure I'm probably going to vote for a couple of people, but not until Election Day.
We saw a lot.
And on that,
go ahead.
Speaking of that, beforehand, I just caught the edge of the last segment. And just to clarify some things about campaign finance laws, there was quite a bit of looseness in what you could do with your own campaign funds. But that has been tightened up significantly over the years, and particularly recently by Billy Sutton working with the Governor Dugard's office that really, tighten that up. So I think the way it was described is not the way it is anymore.
Right. Thank you for that. We left that sort of dangling there. So I appreciate you clearing that up for us right now. How do you think this House race is unfolding? Both candidates running fairly smart campaigns. It's been interesting to watch.
It has been. I've liked this campaign. As I say in my story, in my column, I know Dusty Johnson a lot better than I know Tim Bjorkman. I like the ads Bjorkman's running. I like some of the issues he's brought up. He's clearly a smart guy and is hitting at criminal justice issues that pervade our society with impacts that certainly go beyond the correction system. And as after 10 years as a judge, I think he's seen that in real life, day-to-day situations. And I think he's addressing the issues in his ads straightforward, in a straightforward way that's fairly effective for me. And Dusty Johnson is just, he's kind of a political, utility man. If you're a baseball fan, he's been in a lot of different positions in elected office and as a chief of staff to Governor Dugard and a staffer for Governor Rounds and been working on politics and political things since he was a teenager. And a lot of us know him. A lot of us worked with him. So that's kind of part of what plays out in my blog. But I think it's an interesting race. It's been, I think, issue-oriented so far, and I like that.
It seems like Dusty Johnson has an advantage not only because of the, voter registration in the state, and he's a Republican, but as I walk around, a lot of people know him, and they know him personally. He's been around and active in politics for a long time in spite of a young age, a relatively young age.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's a talker, and he's outgoing, and so you're right. A lot of people do know him, and that's people within the party, but it's also people that he meets in his business work in telecommunications out of a private firm out of Mitchell. It's people that he knows from his communities in Central South Dakota and at Mitchell, where he lives now, Fort Pierre, where he grew up. And he's like me, even more so maybe. He can't stand at a quick shop and fill up his car without talking to everybody who's filling up their car, but asking questions about what they got in their trailer and where they've been hunting and where they're moving to. And so there are a lot of people that know him. He's an exceptional campaigner. He's a natural campaigner. He's got a great deal of energy. And, of course, he's got a 90,000 or so edge in registered voters and the endorsement of the governor in a Republican state. So Tim Bjorkman's got a steep hill. There's no question about that.
And you mentioned with Dusty Johnson his relationship with the press. Tell us a little bit about what you know there.
Well, I've certainly worked with him enough to know that I don't recall ever thinking Dusty Johnson lied to me. I certainly recall Dusty Johnson disagreeing with me, and we've had some exceptionally spirited debates about things, including journalism, sometimes my journalism, but politics and things like that. And I feel like he's earned my trust in terms of I think I can count on him to do what he says he's going to do. I might not always like that, and I don't. Some of the way he feels politically, polar opposite to the way I feel politically. Some of them are fairly similar. And I think that's what most reporters, I haven't spoken to a reporter who didn't feel like Dusty had, been straight with him over the time they worked together. And he also has a respect for reporters. And, we all like that, especially in this age when a lot of people don't respect what we do or who we are or really understand what we do or who we are. And he does. He understands it and he respects it.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about the governor's race and how that is shaping up as you watch the new ads, the back and forth. And this is the part that I always find interesting is how quickly candidates can turn around an ad that responds to another candidate's ad in these final days, weeks.
Yeah, and boy, as you get close, what all of this tells you absolutely is this is a close race. And we can talk about polling results that Billy Sutton releases and those are internals and those are suspicious. But I can tell you that everything I'm hearing from people I know close to and even in the Noem campaign is that this is an extremely close race. And if they had polling that showed it wasn't, they'd be telling us about it. And they're all acting like it's a close race. And, Billy Sutton is an exceptional Democratic candidate. I mean, he's one of those candidates that comes along every once in a while, has an amazing life story, has accomplished a lot in overcoming diversity, and really plays well looking straight at the camera and saying, this is who I am, this is what I'll do. And, of course, Kristi Noem is an extraordinary candidate, too. And she's strong and she's tough and she's proven and she's never lost. And she's not afraid to take a swing at somebody. As she said to me, this is a full-contact sport. I'm not afraid to play it that way. And she isn't.
Yeah, one of my favorite things about the ads is quickly becoming the use of families in those ads. And I tell you, who makes a great campaign ad is Kelsey Sutton. I watched her ad and I thought, man, I like her.
Yes.
And I also really like Kristi Noem's kids. And I think Kristi Noem's kids just nail it in their ad.
Yes. I've liked Booker and Cassidy and Kennedy since the 2010 race, and they've served the campaign well, and so does Kelsey. I have to, full disclosure, she's a friend of my daughter's. They met in law school, and they're friendly, and so I've got a good impression of her, not just from the ads, but from things I hear from people who know her, including my daughter, and the kids play really well in the positive part of this campaign, because it's important to have the positives. And how do you blend that? How do you blend that with the, and as you'll notice, when it turns negative, you don't see the candidates saying, Billy said this or Kristi said this. They're nowhere to be seen. You'll see a little, thing on the ad that says this is what by, but you're not going to see the face because they want to stay away as much as they can from the negative side of that and just take, and play up the positive.
What do you think will happen in the weeks ahead? Where are the punches that haven't been thrown yet?
Well, if you're Marty Jackley in the primary, you're attorney general and you've been a U.S. attorney, you've got a lot of things that somebody can dig into with cases and things that were handled and administrative things. I don't know what you can find on Billy Sutton, that's going to play much more than an ad that I think is effective. He voted for Hillary. He campaigned for Hillary. If Hillary was president, you wouldn't have Gorsuch, you wouldn't have the tax cuts, you wouldn't have this, you wouldn't have that.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think that equals Billy Sutton and Hillary have the same values on all issues, because they don't. And he has a very effective response ad. I thought his first response ad to her attack, where he puts together some campaign contributions and some votes and says, see, she's getting bought off and she's gone Washington. I don't find that very particularly effective, because you can do that with anybody who's got any voting history on it, on key issues and has taken any campaign money. But I think his response ad where he says, come on, I'm Billy, I'm not Hillary, you know who I am. There's only one Washington politician in this race, and it's not me.
Yeah.
I think that's extraordinarily effective, which is not to say that I would say she wears the Washington politician suit particularly, because she's home all the time.
Right.
You know, so, but it's effective.
Yeah. Time to look around and then see what's... You think people still haven't made up their minds? You think they've made up their minds mostly?
Well, the last polling I saw said 10% undecided, I think.
That.
And the question is, how many of the ones that have given their support are soft and how many are solid? How many of those undecideds are really kind of leaning one way? And what's going to happen in the next few weeks that might make them, you know, tip one way or the other?
And how many will show up to vote?
Absolutely.
On November 6th.
You know, early voting.
Yeah.
As much as I dislike early voting, it's very important. Everybody wants to get their voters out early. So if the weather gets bad or complications come up, you've got those votes in the bank.